WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Howard Cohn was born on a small farm in Michigan and started working in the fields with his father when he was six. As the oldest son, he was expected to take over the farm. But Cohn had his own ideas about the future. He left the farm when he turned 18 and went to the University of Michigan, where he was active in the anti-war movement. Cohn went on to become an investigative journalist for Rolling Stone, covering such stories as Patty Hearst's underground flight and the death of union organizer Karen Silkwood. A family crisis recently forced Cohn to return home and to confront his responsibility to his parents and the farm. That's the subject of his memoir, The Last Farmer. Cohn remembers that he'd already grown apart from his father when he first left home as a young man.
I felt I'd made the right decision. I felt my father, by continuing in what I considered a backward method of farming, being content to stay on his 120 acres, having no real ambition to be a modern farmer, that he was wrong and I was right. And I was ready to get out, ready to chase the bright lights, ready to live a completely different life. And the guilt that I eventually felt didn't come about for some years.
What initiated your recent series of trips back to the farm, the series of trips that you write about in your new memoir?
My father's health began to fail in 1982 and 83. He had a heart attack. He fell off the roof of the house, broke his back, and his blood pressure went up to the point where his doctors thought he was a real candidate for a fatal heart attack. My mother was very concerned. She wrote to me, and he had also had a falling out with a cousin of mine who had been helping him out on the farm. So he was at a position in bad health, no one to help him, and really impossible for him to carry on by himself. My mother, very concerned, afraid that she was going to be left a widow. And I, too, suddenly realized that my father could die at any time, any day. And whatever was between us, all the hard times, the hard feelings, the differences, would never be resolved, never be faced. I didn't want to be in a position of coming home to my father's funeral with suddenly regretting 20 years of never speaking to him or never speaking directly to him.
I think one thing that gives a sense of how the farm was run is that your parents had no credit line, no credit cards, not even a checkbook.
That's right.
It's the opposite of big business farming.
It was cash and carry. He'd come out of the Great Depression, and that had formed him in many ways. An uncle of his had committed suicide, having gone into debt, not been able to pay off his debts. His grandfather, which I didn't write about in the book out of some consideration for my father, but have begun to talk about anyway because my sister thinks it's important to be said. My great-grandfather had gone to prison during the Great Depression for committing arson, trying to collect insurance, again because he'd fallen into debt. So my father, from that period on, just lived to stay out of debt and never once bought anything on credit.
When you went back to the farm to be with your parents, you realized, and they realized, that there were basically three alternatives. Your father could keep working the farm, but that would really jeopardize his health. He could bring on a sharecropper, which he didn't really want to do, or he could sell it. But it occurred to you that there was a fourth alternative, which is that you could move back to the farm and play the role of the elder son and take over the farm. How seriously did you ever consider that?
I thought of it very seriously, which shocked me and shocked my wife that I would actually entertain the idea, because it was such a foreign idea. I'm not truly a farmer, but I felt strongly that I needed to come to terms with my father, and that seemed one way to do it. I felt also just a tremendous loss, sense of loss, when I realized that the farm might be sold and that the family home, as it were, would disappear. Now, eventually, I decided not to do it. Or perhaps it's more accurate to say my father decided that for the sake of his family, for the sake of his health, for the sake of our collective well-being, that he would sell.
Before your father decided to sell the farm when you were still agonizing over the decision about whether to take over the farm yourself, you were faced with a dilemma that I think a lot of people in their 30s and 40s are faced with, and that is, do you inhabit the life of your parents to preserve what they worked so hard to build, or do you keep in the life that you made for yourself but risk seeing something that they built pass?
Yes, that's exactly the dilemma, that caught in having to give up something to gain something else, that the life that I had with my wife and now with my daughter is in fact the life I want, the life that I'd worked for. And yet to see my father's life and by extension the life that had existed for more than 100 years on that piece of land. The Cohn family had been there since the 1870s. My grandfather, my great-grandfather had worked it. We'd all walked up and down those same fields to see that pass into the hands of strangers, some corporation. It was more than I could bear at times, and I kept running around in circles, literally going back and forth between my home in Washington and the farm in Michigan.
Our generation was, I think, the generation that had the most violent upheavals in their family, with their parents, and where there were these just terrible breakups between parent and children as the children left home and took on lifestyles that were considered radical and dangerous by the parents. And now I see around me reconciliations going on, like yours, for instance.
Mm-hmm. And that's true of a number of my friends who've just reached a certain age and realized that, well, they realized two things. They realized that there was a lot of their fathers in them, and I realized that. And they also realized that time was running out, and if you didn't do something now, there wouldn't be any time left.
Do you have a good relationship with your parents now?
I do. I have a good relationship. We still don't express our feelings in words. I've tried to say I love you to my father and never quite managed to say it. And he hasn't said that to me either. But I was home recently. In fact, I brought him a copy of the book. And what he said to me, he said nothing when I handed him the book. But what he had instead was a pile of wood waiting for me. And we spent 4 or 5 hours chopping it up. And that was his way of saying welcome home. It said all I needed to hear.
And has he accepted you? I mean, you were, I assume, something of a problem to him.
I was something of a black sheep, but I found this out when I was writing the book, and I found it out from my younger brothers. I found out that when I was off being the prodigal son, being a anti-war radical, a student protester, making headlines for all the things that my father didn't like, that he, in fact, was back in the Saginaw Valley of Michigan defending me to his friends and neighbors and my aunts and uncles and saying that, whatever else, I was still his son. And so I didn't know that at the time. I had no idea that he was saying that. 20 years later, when I found it out, I cried.
I thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Howard Cohn is the author of The Last Farmer, an American memoir. When Cohn's parents sold their farm, they kept their house and 1 acre of land. They have a garden that produces enough for themselves, with plenty left over for the local farmer's market. This is Fresh Air.